I am so happy to have this distinguished privilege, and I am humbled to be with all of you, God's finest saints, in this portion of his harvest. Thank you, West Fresno Ministerial Alliance, for giving the bald head preacher this awesome occasion. I want to thank Fresno Pacific University as well, my provost, all of my associates and staff for journeying with me this portion of the walk. Truly, God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. My beautiful queen couldn't be with me this morning. We have babies traveling in various directions. One goes to school at Emmanuel. We live in Lemoore, and one goes to school in Lemoore. So she has the task of chauffeuring every morning. So she couldn't be here, but she's definitely praying for her husband and her pastor. Amen.
Amen.
It's preaching time. Is that all right?
All right.
I've had the distinguished privilege of preaching, or teaching rather, on Dr. King's Day many a times, and I like to start off saying, don't forget, he was a preacher.
Yeah.
Is that all right? Oh, I just want to set the tone right. I come to preach this morning. All right. There's a word for us in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And the text says, and the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all of their brethren were at their command. Amen. The opening of this text this morning literally allows the hearers to examine Israel's status as they prepared for war in a very dark time in the history of that country. The text opens up and shares for us that the kingdom was in disarray. Saul had misbehaved as king, and God decided to take the kingdom from Saul and give it to a little boy named David. David would not have been anyone's choice, but God found favor in this young man. And when God decided to make David king, the folk that were once divided had to now become reconciled. Are you with me here? This is a reconciliation breakfast, right? They had to become reconciled in order to line up with what God wanted done in the earth. When God's agenda is on the move, there's automatically something that takes place in the ranks of Christianity that summons the leaders that are now in this providence to line up with what God wants done.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you ought to line up today. This text opens for me two concerns, and I only got 20 minutes, so I'm going to give you the Baptist version real quick. Number one, Israel was about God's business. Number two, they were on one accord in difficult times. Now that's worth you coming to breakfast today. What do you mean by that, Pastor? In this day and age, where we're sitting in this dark, dismal, difficult time of Christian work, we ought to be about God's business in the earth. We ought to also renegotiate and think about what it means to be on one accord in difficult times. The text opens up something interesting for us, and it reveals to us what the mentality of the tribes were. The sons of Judah had 6,800 men that were armed for war. The sons of Simeon were 7,100 deep men of valor. The sons of Levi were 4,600 brothers who had assembled for instruction. The sons of Ephraim were 20,800 men who were serious for God. Sons of Manasseh were 18,000 men who could fight with the best of them. The sons of Zebulun were 50,000 men who were experts at war who could keep rank. The sons of Naphtali were 1,000 captains and 37,000 men with shields and spears, and they were all reconciled to one another in order to advance the kingdom of God on earth. Stay with me, I'm trying to go somewhere. In other words, nobody had their own agenda. The sons of Dan were 28,600 soldiers who could keep battle formation. The sons of Asher were 40,000 men who could go to war. The sons of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh were from the other side of the tracks, and they were 120,000 strong. The sons of Benjamin were men armed with a bow and arrow, and the Bible says they could use the left and the right. Are you with me here? And the beautiful thing about this is that they were all reconciled together to advance the kingdom of God's agenda on earth. But then there's one tribe tonight that stands out to us, and that's the tribe called Issachar. And the Bible says uniquely about them that there were 200 chiefs, all who were men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Notice this, brothers and sisters. Issachar was handpicked by God to be a leader among leaders. And as they were a leader among leaders, God had entrusted them as chiefs of Israel's army. They were not many in number, but they were men who were wise and understood the times. They were strong servants. The name literally means that Issachar had the ability to bow his shoulder to carry the burden of Israel. These brothers were from what we call as the Central Valley of what was happening in that time. They would have been the farmers of the 12 tribes. Are you with me here? So they were literally responsible for feeding the nation, and now God had given them a tag in Chronicles that we've never seen written anywhere else. They were men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And the last part of that verse says, and all, somebody say all. All their brothers were at their command. Can I just unpack that right there for you? All of the other 11 tribes came and said, David, we're with you. David, we're on your side. And Issachar is going to be your right hand man. Issachar is going to rule the army. They're going to cast vision. They're going to give strategy. They're going to set the course for where the nation is to go. I believe I'm standing in front of this morning some folks from Issachar. When I survey the landscape in front of me, this great audience this morning, you represent the leaders of the Central Valley. There are congregations under you. There are classrooms under you. There's a responsibility of a university under you. There are women, children, sons, daughters, grandsons represented right here in this room. You're the minds that ought to understand the times and know what the church ought to do. Can I turn the lights on right there? A friend in my library, Dr. Matthew Henry, gave me six characteristics about this tribe of Issachar. Number one, he said, Brother Wilson, they were men that had great skill above their neighbors. And not only did they understand the times, but they understood the natural times, meaning they could discern the face of the sky to know when it was profitable to plant and to reap. Not only that, they were men who knew the ceremonial times. In other words, they could keep the law. And they knew when it was profitable for the folks to line up with God's law and to worship the ceremonial feast and fast. Number three, they were men that understood the political times, the public affairs. And they knew the temper and the tenor of the nation. They knew what was good for the country. And I like this because literally it implies that these men had wisdom to see what God wanted and a heart to get it done. Ask somebody at your table, do you got your heart this morning? The men of Issachar, number four, had good intelligence. Here's what this means, Pastor Mark. These were the learned men of the community. These were those who had matriculated through the academy. But they were not so proud where they couldn't get down with the rest of the tribe. So when it came time to assemble them, everybody looked to Issachar because they were the ones who were schooled. And they said, come and lead us and show us the way. Are you listening through here? And then number five, the men of Issachar knew Israel ought to make David king. They knew not only should they make David king, but it was necessary because the present posture of affairs called for it. They saw Saul run the kingdom in the ground. And they knew David's record from his victories in battle. And they knew it's not only right, but it's tight. We need a king who's a man of integrity. We need a king who's a warrior. We need a king who's got a heart after God. And the sixth thing Matthew Henry helped me to see through this study is that Issachar were men of great interest. Say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pastor? Well, they not only had their own interest at mind, but they had the whole kingdom's interest at mind. And I believe that when I surveyed this crowd this morning, that's why you're here. Because you got the heart of your community at mind. You see the collapse in the economy. You see Tent City on TV. You know we got a problem in our judicial system. You know preachers are falling left and right. You know we talk a good talk. You know something needs to be done. And that's why you up at 6:30. I know you didn't get up that early to hear the baldhead preacher. There's some concerns on your heart. And you've heard the clarion call of God to line up because the kingdom of God is at hand. Am I right there? Now as I get ready to press on to my seat, I want you to know that there are times in our community where gatherings like this are necessary. There are times in our community when we must be feeling burdened with the aches and pains and the groans that we are continuing to struggle with. After all that Dr. King and the rest of the brethren had laid out for us, seems like we're going backwards instead of forwards in many areas. But I stop by to tell you today, we got to press on, brothers and sisters of the great faith. We must not take our cues from the world about who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. Rather, we must know and discern the times and know what the church ought to do. Am I right there? We must not embrace the lies of the world. We must not flee from the call of holiness and righteousness and purity for God. But rather, we must press into the kingdom from on high. I feel my help up here this morning. We must not forsake our responsibilities as ambassadors of the kingdom. Rather, we must take the lead in dark times. We must be the salt of the earth and the light that shines in the darkness so that man can see Jesus and find his way. I got some concerns this morning. Can I give them to you? Here in Fresno, we've got all the makings of modern day soldiers of the kingdom. However, the struggle of our faith is in jeopardy. We have those who are like Issachar, men of great skill, but they refuse to use their gifts for the kingdom of God. Here in Fresno, we've got modern day soldiers who know the spiritual times and they can call their communities to prayer and fasting. But this may mean, Pastor Eli, them departing from a season of sin in a time when it feels so good. I got some concerns this morning. I'm concerned about our modern day leaders in the Central Valley. They understand the political times. They understand the public affairs and the temper of the nation and the tendency of the present events. And they know what the church ought to do, but they'll fail to act on what they know and believe the Bible says. If you're listening, come on and say amen. Here in Fresno, we've got modern day soldiers that have good intelligence from abroad, and they make good use of it. They know what brothers ought to do, and from their observation and experience, they can teach us great things, but they would rather give in to the lies of Satan and keep you divided over issues that ain't gonna matter to a hill of beans. Here in Fresno, we ought to know to make Jesus king in every area of our lives. after how good he's been to us. We ought to know it's not only expedient, but it's necessary. But we've got leaders in place that would rather serve the flesh and live carnal lives rather than go all out for Jesus. I got some concerns today. Here in Fresno, we've got modern day soldiers of great interest who will rule well, but they got sin in their hearts. And they would rather command to a lifestyle of disobedience and dwell and drag on lives of hidden pleasures. I don't mean nobody no harm, but I don't work for you. If God has called you to be in Issachar, the mantle of leadership is upon you, and you've got work to do. I believe and know why our community struggles this morning. Because we've got an accuser. He's bigger than you. He's badder than you. He's smarter than you. And he's been around a lot longer than you. Are you with me here? There's no reason why we have to have a prayer breakfast of reconciliation. Reconciliation was taken care of at the cross. That tells me that there's a sin matter at hand. And there's a satanic matter that's connect with the sin matter that keeps us talking about reconciliation. Are you with me here? But we got a devil, y'all. And I think we forget that he's real. I think we forget that he's the one who wants whites and blacks, browns and Asians to be separated. I think we forget he's the one that wants that greatest hour on Sunday morning segregated. I think we forget to know he's the one that divides the church from the freeway and the railroad tracks. Come on in here and talk to me. He's an enemy who wants to slow the work, stop the work. Come on, talk to me. Hinder the work, impede the work, abort the work, and offset the work. In fact, he's working to stop your work. And his military strategy is effective. Very effective. You want to know what it is? Say, tell me, Pastor. Keep them at odds. Keep them at each other's throats. And keep them questioning and doubting each other's leadership. That's his job. And when I observe what he's doing in the earth, I observe several things here. Number one, he wants to stop church planters from crossing societal boundaries. He wants to frustrate pastors from shepherding across cultures. He wants to discourage evangelists from going to the ends of the earth. He wants to shut down Christian universities to keep them from producing teachers, lawyers, doctors, presidents, missionaries, pastors, politicians, officers, and fellow soldiers of the cross. The devil is not playing with you. He's trying his best to annihilate Ephesians chapter 4 and the gifts that were given from God to the church. I stopped by to tell you today, on my way to glory, that the devil hates mankind. And the enemy of our souls is causing the masses of people to rush headlong into a burning inferno of pain where they will spend all of eternity separated from the living God. No times for soft sermons no more. No time for making you feel good lectures. No time for playing church. Jesus is coming back. And the mouth of eternity is yawning wide, begging for my babies and your babies. It's praying time. Our mission and mandate is clear. Stop fighting one another and reconcile. Can I help somebody this morning? And we have to agree on what we can and disagree, or rather agree to disagree on what we can. But yet one thing is that we must agree this, and that's we are all one. Are you listening to that? I can't believe we've gone this far and allowed for the enemy to do what he has done in our ranks. Really, if the truth was told, this place should be filled to the rafters. Where church is willing and hungry to bring in and usher in a new kingdom of God. Therefore, family, as a church of Jesus Christ, our mission is highly important. We have an eternal call to set the captives free. The war that we fight demands and commands for us to rise to the occasion. Shake off the webs of complacency. Shake off the webs of carnality, racial discrimination, bigotry, societal and economical differences, class and cultural separations. It's praying time. These are hard saying, soldiers, but Israel was preparing for war. Come on, talk with me. Help me, Lord Jesus, just a little while. We are chosen people, a royal priesthood of believers, soldiers of the highest order. Let us assume our responsibility as duties, or rather duties of sons and daughters of the faith and leaders of this great generation. Here in Fresno, let's respond to God's call. Let's reconcile and be the church that God has called us to be in this great portion of the word. As I get ready to take my seat, I saw my big brother take his position. Issachar was a picture of a great leader in troubling times. And you know that God always has a leader who arises somewhere during troubling times. When I was a baby coming out of mama's womb, God had already had a leader on the map. His name was Dr. Martin Luther King. And Dr. King was one of these servants like Issachar, willing to bow his back to the burden of his people. Dr. King was a leader willing to face death so that the rest of the tribes of African Americans could have the right to vote, could have the right to eat, could be called human instead of boy and girl, dog and all the rest of the stuff. Dr. King was passionate about his leadership, and the African American church was able to garner strength and hold on to faith and trust in God to endure the sufferings of wicked man in an unjust racial system seen across the world. Because of King's leadership, pastors and parishioners became community activists. Because of King's commitment, lives were changed, hearts were transformed, and the gospel was seen lived out across the earth.
Amen, amen.
God could use leadership in the earth. I got to leave you right here. But the greatest leader that ever stepped foot on earth is somebody whose reign is still talked about today. The greatest leader who ever stepped down and walked the dusty streets of Palestine is a name that's got power today. I think you know what I'm talking about. This leader's warrior conquest still rules and reigns today. Grandma told me as just a little baby boy that this leader whooped the world's greatest enemies. Heard he put death in a headlock. Made Satan behave at the old rugged cross. I think you know his name. His name is Jesus. This leader was able to give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, walk on water. Am I right there? This leader was able to bring Gentile and Jew together for his Father's kingdom. And his servant leadership is from everlasting to everlasting. His servanthood paid for our salvation at the cross. And his military leadership is in rule right now. How so, Pastor? Well, I heard that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. From the White House to the crack house, every knee is going to bow. He was yet strong, and he is strong. He's the Logos of God. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the bright and morning star. He's a caretaker of his people. I got to leave you now. It's real that time. But he's our example to commitment. He's our example of leadership, our example of reconciliation, our example of obedience, stewardship, holiness, sanctification, and community service. Jesus lives on. And so does the church of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. May God keep you.